What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike, coming at you solo on this eve of the end of All-Star Weekend. So I'm going to be kicking things off today with a recap of All-Star Weekend, and then we're going to be getting into a little bit of possible buyout talk. There's been a new name sort of linked to the Clippers' offseason plans due to the injury of Paul George. So I'm going to be talking that, and then just, you know, whatever else is kicking around in the shavings drawer. If I didn't mention at the top, it's me, William the Opinion Update, coming at you solo for Locked On Clips, part of the Locked On NBA Network, where we bring you that sweet, sweet Clippers news 5 days a week. So yeah, without any further ado, let's get into it. All-Star Weekend. I don't know, if you listen to the show, I've voiced my pros and cons, I feel like, for this part of the season, but we got to talk about it. Team LeBron did end up winning. Kawhi won the All-Star MVP in this one. Don't ask me to explain the game format because I'm still not 100% sure that I understand it. I do know that you wanted to hit the target score at 157 at the end, and let me say, target score is the best way to go. I think that having a target score in the fourth quarter made it the most interesting fourth quarter of All-Star basketball that we've seen in a while. At least that comes to recent mind. If you think otherwise, if you think there's been a better fourth quarter, please let us know what you think at Locked On Clips, at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler. We'd love to hear what you got to say about it. But I got to be honest, this was, when it came down to the wire, my favorite All-Star that I've seen in a while. As I said, Kawhi did end up with that All-Star MVP, finishing with 37-4, adding two steals. He was hyper-efficient, 61% from the floor, 57% from three. I saw some tweets. I don't know if they were a joke or if they were serious, so I apologize if you were being serious. I thought you were joking, but that LeBron should have been the MVP over Kawhi. He did have more assists, but seven less points. James did also add two blocks, but he was much less efficient, shooting only 2 of 10 from three. I think if there was a dark horse or backup sort of MVP or most chill hang, MCH, if you will, I would have given it to Chris Paul in this one. He finished with 23, two boards, six assists. He was overall plus 13, which is the highest plus minus of any player on Team LeBron. But no, I think they got it right going with Kawhi. That was he was incredible out there. And I, you know, it's just good to see everybody having fun. Good to see people healthy out there. So that's all I'm really going to talk about for the main game. If you have thoughts, love to know what you thought about the new format. Love to know what you thought. If you disagree with me in thinking that there shouldn't be a target score at the end, go ahead and let me know. I just think that it's the best incentive that, like, it gives everybody something to go for. It gives people more of a reason to play defense, but it's like, it's not so wild that, you know, you're not worried about people getting hurt or anything. And that's the main thing, right? Like, we want to just see these guys have fun, not get hurt. So I'm going to be running down some further All-Star stuff in no real particular order, just kind of as I'm thinking of it. But so in the three-point competition, We saw some wild stuff. One, like, interesting note I just want to say overall about the three-point competition is it's so interesting to see a player hit their stride. This is clearly not, you know, it's not quite game-level intensity, and obviously you're not going up against a defense, and you're not, like, you know, you're, like, taking a ball off of a rack, so it's definitely different. But it's interesting to see each guy kind of, like, when whatever it was in their rhythm kind of clicked, they would just kind of go on tears. So that was really interesting, especially Buddy Hield. He did end up winning. He did end up taking home the full, the crown there in the 3-point shootout. He hit his last absurd amount straight. It was like 13 or 14 straight. Started off a little bit cold. It was kind of a great metaphor for, I guess, how his season play has been overall. Inconsistency was just on full blast there. Devin Booker was right up there. Really consistent. Looked great. Bertans. It was great to see him get an appearance in this one. He also did really well. As I said, Buddy Hield ended up walking away, though, with the top honors in the 3-point competition. The coolest thing is just seeing these guys kind of, like, hit their stride. That would have been one that, obviously, injury was preventing it. But, you know, someone like Paul George is so smooth. I'd love to see him in a competition like that. All right, so keeping going on these things, the dunk contest. This is, man, I don't know. It's got to be one of the bigger draws or one of the bigger bragging chips of all of All-Star Weekend. And this one I feel like didn't really let down. It maybe wasn't as exciting as the LaVine-Gordon showdowns. But, you know, as far as the dunk contest goes, it was pretty good. I got to be honest, Pat Connaughton threw it down harder a couple of times than I thought. He went one time over Giannis, and I was pretty surprised, just personally, that he was able to throw down like that. In my humble opinion, overall, I felt like Aaron Gordon had that one locked up. Derrick Jones Jr., no disrespect, he had some great dunks, some insane power, crazy bounce, but I just felt like some of the closing dunks were definitely Aaron Gordon's. There was a stretch there in the middle where he did two dunks over Chance. I think he ended up doing another one after that, but those dunks a little bit ran together for me. They were like kind of similar. I think overall, honestly, like, we got to just limit the number of dunks. Like, I think that it should just be, instead of doing like typical rounds, it should totally just be, they should be more stringent with giving out the 50s with like the perfect scores, and every dunker in the competition should truly just get like four dunks. Obviously, Aaron Gordon was not pleased. A lot of people were not pleased with the final judging. It seems like, according to a Ramona Shelburne report, that they were in fact trying to have a tie, so that they would do another round of dunks. And Dwayne Wade is apparently the heel in that whole operation, who kind of ended up screwing that up. For more content on that, check out Worldwide WAP or just other things on Twitter. I'm not gonna dive too deep into that one. But yeah, I think Aaron Gordon won that one. It's a bummer. I think the biggest loss is, you know, Ja Morant seems like he's not going to be a part of the dunk competition next year, which would be such a bummer. Just seeing what he's been able to do this year. Questionable if Zion would end up doing it. So, I don't know. That would take a lot of appeal away from it. Oh, also, your boy Dwight Howard was there doing Dwight Howard stuff. So I guess I should say him too, as I was mentioning some other people in this dunk competition. But yeah, I don't know. I think Aaron Gordon took that one. Derrick Jones Jr., was amazing, laid it down. Good for him. Way to get that award. And then we got to talk briefly about the skills challenge. Other than the All-Star game in which Kawhi did win the MVP, never going to get tired of dropping that. The only other Clipper to be a prominent part of All-Star Weekend was Patrick Beverley. He was in that skills challenge, and he did not make it to the finals. Weirdly enough, bigs kind of dominated, or you know, like fours, I guess, like kind of new small ball bigs dominated the skills challenge. Way to go, Adebayo and Domantas Sabonis, who ended up battling it out for the finals. Adebayo did end up winning that one. Way to go. Like, what a great recognition for him. What an incredible season he's had. Pat did apologize for his performance, which one of those things like, hey, buddy, don't even worry about it. But he did say that the biggest thing is just coming away healthy. Couldn't agree more. So that about does it for my recap of All-Star Weekend. If you had any highlights that you think I missed, I'd love to know what you thought. And what do you think overall about only about Kawhi being the only member of the All-Star team and Pat Bev making it out of the skills challenge? Do you think other Clippers should have been given consideration? I don't know. I think it would be cool. I don't know. The three-point contest was already just so good. I was going to say it would be cool to add maybe like a Shamit or somebody in there, but it was already pretty solid. So I do understand the reasoning on that. So anyways, coming up next, I'm going to talk a little bit about a buyout candidate that has been floated around the Clippers. So stay tuned for that coming up right about now. All right, so I'm back. And according to a report coming from the Los Angeles Times, there is interest, if he is bought out, in a possible Evan Turner deal. Evan Turner on the season is not been super hot. He has been limited to 19 games, averaging 3 points, 2 rebounds, and 2 assists. Not the greatest showing for him so far this season. He is only taking, he's only taking like he's taking about 3 attempts overall from the floor. And yeah, he's taking 3 to 4 attempts overall on the floor. Less than a third per game attempts from three. And he is also averaging 2 assists with about 1.4 turnovers. So not the greatest necessarily as like a facilitating playmaker. Once again, another, honestly to me, just another kind of wing. He is 6'6". He could theoretically play a larger kind of guard role in those minutes, especially if Patrick Beverley continues to be out for a longer period of time. I definitely would understand the interest in an Evan Turner. I personally don't really know that I love the fit. That being said, though, there were some moments that he had in that playoff series the Trailblazers played against Denver before they made the Western Conference Final that I thought that he at least looked even better than just a rotation player on, you know, like a what was at that point like a deep playoff team. So that was pretty solid. I guess I'm a little torn on how this really fits in with the whole situation. I guess if we were to play him as kind of a bigger guard role, especially if he was willing to take more of an off-ball role on the second unit, I can see a space for him, especially with Rodney Magruder more or less falling out of the rotation. Evan Turner, above Rodney, would most likely demand minutes in a playoff rotation. But you know, who's to say? If we can get him on a buyout, you know, we have a couple of open roster spots. I don't think that that's a bad idea. I certainly wouldn't be mad at it. You know, I think trying to thrust him into a starting spot would obviously be an issue. Just offensively, I feel like you're not looking at a huge upgrade from Mo. You know, Evan Turner's been in the league a little longer. He does have some more tricks in his bag. But, yeah, I mean, you're not really looking at an offensive threat. So I don't see him. I don't see him moving into that starting lineup, but taking up some of those Rodney McGruder minutes, you know, I think that could be productive, and could certainly be interested if and when he is bought out. We'll keep you updated on that as the situation develops. But coming up next, we got some shavings. All right, so coming up for you in this shaving segment, we got a question from Tim Rode. Shout out Tim Rode, who actually sent us a question via old-fashioned email, which I very much appreciate. If you guys want to ask us a question, tomorrow will be Twitter Tuesday. We will be sending out a thread that you should definitely pop your questions into. That's at Locked On Clips. You can always send your questions to either at Locked On Clips, at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler. We'd love to hear from you. But if you don't have Twitter, you know, if you just happen to be on your work computer and wanting and itching to ask us a question, don't hesitate to send that via email to shavings.podcast@gmail.com. Once again, that's shavings.podcast@gmail.com. So thank you, Tim Rode, who sent in a question. And I'm just going to transcribe this one for you. I'll read it out because it is pretty thoughtful. He does acknowledge both sides, but this is pertaining to the Paul George trade that took place over the summer. So Tim Rhodes says, I get that the Clips had to make the PG trade to get Kawhi, but was it a mistake for Kawhi to have demanded the PG trade in the first place? Is there any doubt that the Clippers would be better off if Kawhi had just agreed to sign with them as a free agent? Think about what their lineup looks like with a healthy Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Gallo in place of Paul George. They would also have had all those first-round picks to use in a trade for a starting center at the deadline. I get that they had to make that deal, but did Kawhi hurt his own chances at a chip this year by making that trade demand? Best, Tim Rode. Wow. Tim, this is a good one. I like that you acknowledge both sides. I mean, the thing is, and you know, it's even getting cliche at this point of me to even say it, but you can't consider the Paul George trade without the Kawhi element. It's truly not fair, either to the front office, or, you know, like, or anyone as a whole. Obviously it hurts to give up, just a great developing piece like SGA and then, you know, strongest man in the league, great glue guy in Gallo. But I still struggle to see a franchise out of 30 that wouldn't be willing to pay that price in order to both sign Kawhi and add Paul George. Now, with that disclaimer out of the way, let's take a little bit of a better look at this question. Now, did Kawhi hurt his own chances at a championship? I think, you know, that's to be determined. I still think it's a little bit too early to, you know, put any sort of caveat like that on it. But was it a mistake for Kawhi to have demanded the PG trade in the first place? Here's the thing. It just seems like more and more as players seek out these trades for specific targets or they do want to team up. I do think that they are negating a job that is very important, which is that front office, that kind of roster and team construction. And, you know, sometimes it'll work. Obviously, if you are, you know, if you're the Warriors and you want to add Kevin Durant, I would fail to see a scenario in which that wouldn't work. But if you are, you know, like the LeBrons or the Kawhis, obviously, you know, incredible players, have been parts of incredible teams, have played underneath great coaches at times, you know. Should you be making the move to be the GM for your team? And I think that it makes sense that these players have the option to do that, and I think that they will always have the option to do that as well. They should. I think if you get to a point in your career or you can deliver a certain type of result, you deserve, not even deserve. I mean, like, I feel like in a certain light, everyone deserves to pick their coworkers. You know, like if you have the option, yeah, you'd probably want to pick your coworkers. So I think that it makes sense, especially if you're at the peak of your game, that you would want to do that. But I do think still that, as I said, players really like holding the cards on who they want to trade for or sort of what needs to be happened or what needs to happen in terms of player acquisition. I think that that's a little bit of a slippery maybe not a slippery slope, but it's definitely something that can be as detrimental to a franchise as it is fun to the workplace to get to add your friend. Would the Clippers be better off with SGA and Gallo? I mean, once again, man, this one is really, really hard. I don't know necessarily how you make the salaries work, but if it was possible to have just added Kawhi in free agency and had both those players, it covers some holes. I struggle to find an argument where, you know, someone who's had the availability of Paul George this season, which is in no way his own fault, but still, I don't see a situation in which someone who's had his availability is replaced by two players who have had greater availability and are, you know, like such positive contributing members isn't an upgrade. But, you know, it's one of those things that, as I said, and I will say forever, it can't be taken in a vacuum without the acquisition of Kawhi Leonard. So, anyways, let me know what you guys think. I'm guessing a lot of people would be happy to have Kawhi Leonard added to the tandem of Shea and Gallo. But hey, maybe think we're better off now. I don't know. Let me know. Get at me. That's at Will Updike on Twitter, at Locked On Clips, at Charles Markler. I'm gonna wrap it up for this one. A little bit of a slow news week, just with the All-Star break and everything. However, we will have another episode of Locked On Clips for you tomorrow. As I said, it will be Twitter Tuesday. Go ahead and get those questions in. We love everybody who sends those in. We'd love to discuss them on the air. So we'll be getting into that, as well as anything else that comes up between now and then in Clipperland. So thank you so much. I've been William the Opinion Updike. Appreciate you.